Pastor Steve has asked that I read from 1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 11. Brothers and sisters, I do not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Steve, I'll say a prayer with you before you share what God has led to you this week. Thank you, gracious Father, for your new mercies today, for this gathering of people who desire to hear your word. Thank you for the firm foundation upon which Whitmer Heights has been built. Thank you for those who've gone before Steve in sharing the word with us, in guiding us, teaching us. And thank you for bringing Steve to us. Thank you that we can trust and firmly believe that it is you who does the growing. We invite you to grow us today. Guide Steve with your spirit, we pray.
Last week we looked at the parable of the soils, and I'm wondering this morning that as you heard that, as you hear the parable of the sower or the soils that the seed grows in, do you feel discouraged by that parable? It sounds like there's only one in four chance that these seeds that are out there planted, the seeds of the gospel, are ever going to really take root and produce great fruit. Great fruit, not great fruit. But just reviewing those four soils, the one seed could fall on a hard path, just get eaten up right away by the birds, not ever have any kind of reception in the soil. The second is where it's real shallow, no roots grow, and so there's withering of the plants after any kind of pressure or struggle. There's the seed that's planted among the thorns and the weeds, and there's just so much going on, so many other gods in that person's life that the seed, the growth of the gospel, the good news of Jesus can't grow. But then finally, there's that one, the good soil in which it produces a great multiplication of fruit. And I don't believe Jesus is teaching that it's 25% of each of these soils. But you do get the sense that there's a great chance that, the soil won't produce. Jesus does teach that many take the wide road. Few take the narrow road that leads towards life. But it's not just the parable, but even as we make observations of life, we might be discouraged from time to time. Is anyone out there really listening? Is anyone open to spiritual things? Can these seeds that are being sown and spread out there, can they really sink in and take root and grow and produce fruit? We might look at our lives or another person's life or situation and just wonder if there's going to be fruit that's produced. If anything, if God's really going to move in the midst of this situation. So if any of that's true, this parable is a good companion to the parable of the sower. And in fact, in Mark's telling of the gospel of Jesus, this parable follows right after Jesus' teaching of the sower and the good soil. Because what Jesus is teaching here is that there's life in that seed. Those seeds that are being sown, there is the power of life that God has instilled in there, contained in that seed. And in that we can have hope. And so to believe that God is the creative force behind the growth of God's kingdom, that's what we really want to focus in on today. A lot of times we can feel the responsibility that it's up to us to make all of this happen, that God's purposes are going to be accomplished as we do our thing. It's good to know that there's life in that seed that's being planted for the kingdom of God. And just a reminder what the kingdom of God is, when we read that in scripture, when Jesus teaches, this is what the kingdom of God is like. It's wherever God's being honored, wherever there's belief in Jesus and seeing him as the one who redeems and saves and is Lord of all, wherever love and mercy is being shown in Jesus' name and people are following after him in those hearts, in those families, in that church, in the world, there the kingdom of God is breaking through. Jesus says it's not in this country or in this place, but it's wherever God's creative force is coming forth to bring growth in his purposes. And so let's reflect a little more on what it looks like for God to be that creative force and strength behind his kingdom coming. In this parable, the seed sprouts and it grows after the farmer planted it. He doesn't know exactly what's going on underneath the soil, but all by itself, the soil is producing grain. And I think that's maybe where that idea, all by itself, these seeds are growing. It's a reality that we see in the natural world. You know, we might be helping by fertilizing or watering, but there's something going on beyond our control that's allowing the fruits and the grain and everything else to grow around us. But it can raise the question for us, is it all God who's manifesting his purposes wherever God wants? Are we just passive players here as these things grow, as the things of the kingdom grow all by themselves? What's our role? And that's a question that I want to get to. But here at first, the focus is God is the one who's making it grow. And I just want to highlight two characteristics of the growth that we see in this parable and all throughout scriptural teachings. The first is that there's progressive growth. As Jesus describes it, first that blade just pops through and then it's growing. You're beginning to see the beginnings of the fruit or the grain, the heads of grain. And then the full grain or the full is being produced and it's ready for the harvest. That's such a theme throughout scripture, this progression from small to large, from being vulnerable to being fully mature, from being a seedling to being on full display for the world to see. And in fact, the next parable that Jesus teaches immediately after that is the parable of the mustard seed. And here Jesus teaches, again, how can I explain the kingdom of God to you? It's like this. A mustard seed is planted in the ground. It's the smallest of all the seeds, but it becomes the largest of all the garden plants. It grows large, long branches, and birds make their nest in its shade. This is the way of God. This is how God does his work of growing and creating. From an infant to a child to an adolescent to a fully mature person. From a baby born in Bethlehem in this obscure stable to this peasant family, to Jesus who's teaching and doing miracles and powerful things. But that's not enough. He fulfills his purposes by dying and rising again and being raised to glory. Can you see that same kind of progression in your own faith, in your own life, of how your faith in the Lord has grown from somehow a tiny seed to something that's being nurtured, to something now that's beginning to bear fruit, hopefully is going to bear more and more fruit. So that's one understanding here about the kingdom of God and how God's at work amongst us and even behind the scenes, beyond what we can see. And then the other thing is, as we've already made note of, is this growth is dependent on God. And here, even though the farmer didn't know exactly what was happening, yet still we have a role to play in that growth. This week during our prayer group, Velma had a devotional, and the point was that it's all about God. We can often think it's all about me, but we were reminded that God is worthy of all praise and we live to glorify Jesus. And even as we proclaim that and believe that, there's also that truth, not that we're worthless, but that we also have great worth in God's sight, that he sees us as a treasure and a masterpiece. And so even though we would raise him to the highest place, it doesn't negate the fact that he turns around and looks at us as having great value. And I think just a parallel way of thinking here, God is the one who gives growth. God is the one who brings about his creation and his purposes. God is the one who is that creative force behind his kingdom coming in every way that that's being expressed. But even having said that, we have an important role to play. Not God's role, but we have an important role to play. And so with those two thoughts in mind, that growth is progressive and that growth is dependent on God. He has the key role, but yet we have an important supportive role in that. Just like to think about three things here of why this is so important to us. First thing is that it gives us trust and it gives us hope. Yeah. I don't need to be up front here preaching with the idea that I need to convince you. It's all up to me to make you believe these words of Scripture and to come to faith. Again, I have an important role, but it's the Spirit of God that I trust and believe is at work as these words are going out and as you are receiving them, that somehow God's at work beyond what I see and beyond the convictions of my words. And so it gives us hope and trust that God is ultimately the one that is bringing forth his kingdom. I love the words of Isaiah 5, where God says, "The rain and the snow come down from heavens, and they stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow. It produces seeds for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It's the same with my word," God says. "I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." Those are the kind of promises, those are the kind of convictions that we can hold on to, that God is at work in God's way to bring about his purposes. And another way we could is all that we proclaim about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God present in this world, all around us and in us and in the church, to be the strength and the power behind God's purposes coming forth. And so listen to what our confession of faith says about the Holy Spirit and think about it in terms of God is the one who gives the growth. As the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, the church praises and worships God. The Holy Spirit is bringing out praise and worship in us and brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. By the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all Christians are called to carry out their ministries. By the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the church comes to unity in doctrine and action. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the church preaches and teaches and heals and testifies and loves and suffers as they follow Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one calling people to repentance, convicting them of sin, leading them in the way of righteousness, and all those who open themselves to the workings of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's at work, and a lot of these things are being nurtured along the way as we rise and as we go to sleep and as we live out our lives day by day, often out of sight. We don't know exactly how God's bringing about what he's doing in our lives and in other people's lives, but we have hope and we have trust in that. The second thing is that it calls us to patience. A farmer needs to be patient along the way. Again, he planted the seeds, but it's by God and God's work that the grain or the fruit's going to be produced in the end. It will grow when it grows, is what the farmer's going to need to believe here. And so here we're called to remember that God will accomplish his purposes in his timing and in a manner dependent on God's way and God's wisdom as he sees all things unfolding. And we're naturally inclined to want to determine how things happen and in what timing things are going to happen. We want God to move now, and we want to believe this is the best way that it should happen. And again, this parable reminds us that we can't take that kind of controlled position. Seeds are planted, and God will nurture it as God will along the way in his timing. And it's often a more deliberate process. It's often a more painful process than what we would choose along the way. Jesus even says, unless a seed dies, goes into the ground and dies, it can't produce fruit. There's a deeper process going on as God accomplishes his purposes. How many times have you thought that would have been the ideal time for someone's heart to be convicted? Or that seems like that would have been the perfect time to heal this marriage, that situation. Or that would have been the best opportunity to heal racial tensions. You know, why didn't God move then? That just seems so obvious that that would have been the way for God to move. But Scripture constantly tells us at just the right time, God moves. At just the right time, God, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to save those under the law. Another way to put it, if you're a basketball fan, a Sixers fan, trust the process. You know, that's their, and for those who are fans, they might be wondering, this process doesn't seem to be leading anywhere good yet. But God's saying, trust. I know where things are headed. And in the fullness of time, my kingdom's going to come in all of its fullness. Trust that in my timing and in my way. And then the third thing, just like to say about this is, well, the thought that came to my mind is we need to stay in our lanes. You know, this is God's lane, this is our lane. And what our lane in all of this, as the kingdom of God grows, is to prepare the soil. I think that might be a good way to say it. Just like we're preparing by watering and fertilizing these things, how can we prepare the soil? Because the farmer, even though it says night and day, he's doing his things and these things are growing beyond his understanding, it still says that he planted the seeds, he's going to harvest the seeds, and I'm sure part of that day and night activity was to, in some ways, prepare his soil for the growth that was going to happen here in this wheat. And like Paul says, Apollos watered, I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God who gives the growth. Paul doesn't say we haven't done anything. They had an important role, but it's God who's making it grow. And even though Paul says, who are we? We're nothing. I think he's making a comparison. Compared to our contribution, God is the true power behind all of this. But I don't think he would negate that they have an important role, because he's often calling people to the importance of ministry. And so I'd just like to close with a couple of thoughts here where under this heading of our role of preparing the soil, I was reintroduced to this parable last month when I read the book Natural Church Development. I think I mentioned that during my time of transition, I read that book. And the author there was comparing, again, the health of the church with natural processes. And according to the author Christian Swartz, he would say that there's these eight essential characteristics that a church needs to nurture. And in terms of the sermon, we could say these are the things that are important to prepare the soil so that God can really move in our midst. And I just like to name them. I don't want to make this a lecture or anything, but I just want to name them to give you examples of how we can prepare the soil and trust that the Spirit of God's going to move in a powerful way in our midst. This would be our... I'm just going to name them here quickly. The first quality is empowering leadership. And that's where the leaders of the church empower everyone to serve and to minister. Not that the leaders take all the glory or do all the work, but that leadership empowers everybody. Another way to prepare the soil is holistic small groups. However, there's smaller subsets of our church. It's not would meet to discuss a Bible passage, as important as that is. But in these smaller groups, they are ministering to each other. They are encouraging each other to apply these things. It's a training ground for ministry, because in these smaller settings, we minister and we learn what it means to serve God. Well, small groups. Functional structures, that the structures we set up to administrate and to lead, they're flexible and they help carry out the mission. It's not just that we established this way of organizing ourselves in 1940 and we're going to stick to it. But somehow we're doing things that help carry out our mission. That's how we're organizing ourselves. Inspiring worship. That our worship, it's not just enthusiastic, but it's inspired, that the Holy Spirit somehow is breathing. We can tell as we genuinely worship together, the Spirit of God is moving here and people can sense that in our midst. Gift-oriented ministry, where everybody's using the gifts and the passions that God has instilled in them to serve. Passionate spirituality, where everybody has a genuine relationship with Jesus, leading to joy and willing service. We're not just performing our duty or coming out on Sunday because that's what you do as a Christian. Need-oriented evangelism, we're getting to know our neighbors. We're relating to our community, and we're responding to what we see. We're serving, and we're sharing faith along the way. And then finally, loving relationships. When you're in our midst, you sense genuine love and welcome and encouragement and hospitality and sacrificial service. Everybody is experiencing that love together. And so again, these are just things that we can do to prepare the soil. But we can do all these things, but if God isn't at work moving, the kingdom's not going to grow in our midst. God's purpose won't necessarily win the day. And so that's the challenge for us today. And the question I'd like to close with is, are you living as if you believe that God is making it grow? Do you live with a sense of trust and hope that as you do your thing day after day, as you strive to live faithfully, you believe that God is at work in ways you're not even seeing or understanding to bring about God's purposes? Do you live with a sense of patience, of God's timing and God's way of bringing about His growth and His purposes? Or are you demanding that you have the answers to how His kingdom will come forth? And then finally, are you, in a sense, staying in your lane? Are you preparing the soil? Are you preparing your own heart in a way that allows God to move so that it can produce that fruit 30 and 60 and 100 times as much? Are you living as if you know that God makes it grow? Let's be challenged by that this week. And let's pray together. God, we praise you as the creator of all things. And we praise you that you are continually involved in your creation to restore it and to make things grow. That you build into the very fabric of your creation, life. And you desire life for us. And you've accomplished that through Jesus, your Son, our Savior and Lord. And so, Lord, may we live as if we believe that you are making it grow. Give us trust and hope. Give us patience and give us the desire to prepare the soil for you to come and make it grow. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.